Father's love for us. If you don't walk away with anything else this afternoon, I hope you walk away with that. That the Father's love is unimaginably deep. And He loves us. You know, last week I talked about both the why and how of becoming a disciple, that is, a follower of Jesus, what that means and what it looks like and how you do that. And then this morning we've seen this amazing picture of that in baptism. Because literally when you become a follower of Jesus, what it means is it means to die to yourself. It means to sacrifice those things that we have the priority in our lives, and we change places with Jesus. We allow Him, we put ourselves into His death and sacrifice. We say, all my rebellion I give to You, God. Everything that I've tried to do in my own strength, out of my own abilities, I give that to You, and I sacrifice it. And then I get new life in You. I'm raised to new life in You. Of course, that's not the end of the story. It's not that it stops whenever you walk out of the baptistry. You see, the message of Easter is not just that we have been redeemed in Him. We've been saved from the eternal separation from God that we're doomed to as we live in our own rebellion. It's not just restoration from our brokenness and our sin. The message of Easter is that we are actually saved to something. We're raised to newness of life. Did you hear that at the end of those baptisms? You're raised to newness of life. Now, what does that mean? It's not just a spiritual thing that we say. It's not written down somewhere that, okay, whenever you do a baptism, you have to say those words. That's not the way it is. Rather, it is an expression of a new reality. It's an expression of a different way of living. Does that mean that we live perfect lives? If you are here and you have been living a perfect life since your baptism, I want to meet you. I know I haven't. And I don't think any of you have either. But it does mean that the transforming power of God through His Spirit is at work in us, changing us, shaving off those things in our lives which don't look like Him. We're being transformed over time. We are raised to a new perspective and a new purpose in our lives. That is the Easter message. After Jesus was raised on that first Easter morning, He walked with His disciples for 40 days approximately before ascending into heaven. And in those 40 days, I feel certain that He sought to help His disciples understand what it meant to live in newness of life. Now I say, I think that's what He did, but the truth is we actually have very little recorded information from those 40 days. There's not a whole lot of information about what Jesus said in those days. We know some of what He did, that He met and talked with the two along the road to Emmaus, with the two followers of His, the two disciples. He helped them grasp the resurrection and what that meant. We know that He spent time with His disciples, that He restored Peter into fellowship. There was that whole conversation. But we have very little teaching. Most of it was personal interaction and working with individuals, it seems, from what we have. But we know that He actually appeared to a great number of people in that time, but we just don't know much of what He said. Except what we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, which has been called the Great Commission. That is, what is this great new perspective and purpose to which every single one of us who calls ourselves a follower of Christ has been called? This is not just for the disciples. That's not just for some of us. It is for each and every one of us who is raised to walk in this newness of life. And these few short verses say, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now we see two clear things in this. One, we see this new perspective. We see that Jesus is calling us to a newness of life in which I don't go on my own or for my own purpose. Now that's an important new perspective, because the truth of it is most of us, if we're left to our own devices, we go through life trying to figure out what is best for us. What is it that we want? And how much of it can we get? It's like there's this game being played and we're in the middle of it, and the game is collect the most stuff, do the best, suffer the least, and get through life so that at the end of life, what? We've made it with the least amount of resistance. Jesus calls us to a new perspective, a new purpose. Now the truth is you don't walk alone. That's one important factor, is that no longer are we trying to do this on our own. We don't have to somehow create the situation on our own in a way that makes things happen. And some of us are people who make things happen, right? You could probably raise your hand if you were one of those people. You're the kind of person who makes things happen. And things, you get things done and you make things happen. But the truth of the matter is that we're not in that position any longer. We're in the position of asking God, "God, what is it that you desire to make happen, and I will follow you." He says two things. He opens and he closes these verses by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he closes it by saying, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Now what that means is the one who has all authority walks with us every single day if you're his follower. The one who has all authority, all power. Now, whenever I say he has authority, what do you think? Now, my first thought on this was, have you ever been driving and you see a police car behind you? Now, if you're like me, my first reaction is, how fast am I driving? Right? And there's a little bit of that, you know, kind of butterflies in your stomach of, uh-oh, are the lights about to come on? You know, have you faced that? Sometimes we think that's God. Or we think that that's what he's called us to be. We're the policeman, right? If you're a believer, you're called to be the policeman and show everybody else how it's done. And you're the ones in the authority, and now we get to tell everybody else, you know, I've got this right, by the way. I've got everything figured out, mostly. And I can tell you how everything is supposed to go, how you're supposed to live your life. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying that we are the bearers of a letter of pardon. And the authority is in that stamp. Have you seen a letter of authority, of pardon? On that letter of pardon, there is a stamp. And that stamp or that seal shows that letter has authority. It is, the bearer has no authority on their own. I'm really sorry. If you were looking forward to the authority, you don't get to keep it. It's his. We simply are the bearers of a letter of pardon. saying, We have no authority on our own. We simply bear the letter. So this new perspective is that we now bear this letter that says that we have been pardoned. We have been pardoned from all of that rebellion against God. We have been pardoned from our sins, from our departure of the ways in which God would have us live. We have been pardoned. But not only that, it doesn't say just me. It says, whosoever will. Every person that we go to with this letter, if they will too trust their lives to Christ, if they will entrust everything about them, their future, their past, their present, anyone who will trust Christ and follow Him with all of their lives, ask for His forgiveness for their rebellion, becomes a bearer of that letter. But we also have a new purpose, and that is to make disciples. Now, this week I stumbled across a video. It was a very moving video from a Coptic priest who was speaking after the two explosions in Egypt, which killed at least 45 people this past week in Coptic churches. And it was titled, the title of this message was, A Message to Those Who Kill Us. And the two main points were, thank you, and we love you. Thank you. People are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ for the first time, and they are responding because they want to know what it is that we have that is worth dying for. Thank you, and we love you. You give us the chance, the opportunity to show our love in the most difficult of circumstances, but in concrete ways to those who hate us. You push us to be like Christ. In the aftermath of a tragedy like this bombing, these followers, and by the way, it's not just this one priest, it is every single one of those followers of Christ in Egypt who are making disciples. Now, don't mistake the fact that there is sacrifice. They live and have experienced the most dreadful and difficult of circumstances we can imagine. And they come out of it saying, thank you. We love you. Could we do that? Could we say that in the hardest of days, in the hardest of circumstances? Can we say thank you because you give us the opportunity to share the gospel? And we love you, whatever you do to us. Do we love with that kind of depth? You've probably heard it before about these verses, but the only command here is to make disciples. The command is not to go. The command is not to baptize. Command is not to teach. The command is to make disciples. The rest is motion. It's participles, which I'm no English major, but I'm told what that means is that it is as you go, make disciples. As you are going, baptize. As you are going, teach. These things are motion. They are once we are in motion, as we go. Now, here's what that means to me, is that every single one of us, regardless of where we are, we don't make disciples here. Hopefully we do. But this isn't the only place. This isn't the place that you come to be a disciple and be made a disciple. That happens on the streets. It happens at work. It happens in school. It happens as you go. It happens wherever you go. You are called to make disciples. You're making some sort of disciple right now. I don't know if you realize that or not.
The people around you, whether or not it's your family, your friends, whoever is around you is becoming more like you. The question is, are they also becoming more like Jesus? Because you're making disciples. Are you making disciples of Christ or just of you? Because you're making disciples. As you go, make disciples. And then baptize. Now, baptize isn't an ending point. It is an ongoing thing. It's like when you step into that relationship, what's the first thing that you do? You're baptized because it is the first step of obedience. It is a picture of what has happened in your life. And then it is a step of obedience. And then we learn and we teach. You never stop learning and you never stop teaching. It is ongoing. If you ever stop learning, you'll stop teaching because you have nothing to give. And so we constantly learn. We constantly grow as we are going and we make disciples. Are you going? Pretty sure you are. But the question is, are you making disciples? Perhaps the better question, are you a disciple? Because only a disciple can make a disciple. And so the calling this morning is twofold. And we're about to partake in the Lord's Supper. Let me remind you of the fact that the Lord's Supper is, of course, a picture of the death of Christ as he met in the upper room with his disciples before he was baptized. Before he was crucified, he met with his disciples in that upper room and he showed them what it meant to sacrifice everything. But he was still going. He went to the cross. He also went to the grave. And then he was resurrected to a newness of life. And so when we come today, this is really recognizing both that step that Jesus took to the cross, but also the step we take to become the disciples. But it's also a call in our lives. If we take it and we say, I am a follower of Christ, I am a disciple, and we say that by taking the bread and the wine, and if we say that, then there is a calling to make disciples because Jesus was raised from the dead. He lives, and one day we're told, he tells his disciples, he says, the next time I do this, it will be together with you in my kingdom. And so whenever we do it, we also do it in the hope and the expectation that Jesus is coming again. And one day, we will do this in his presence as disciples who make disciples. Who are you going to bring with you? Who will celebrate on that day with you? Because you are a disciple making disciples. Would you pray with me, please? And I'd ask the deacons to please come forward. Father, we come before you, and what a glorious day this is as we celebrate your resurrection. You are alive, and we can speak with you today. Father, help us to be disciples who make disciples. Whatever the cost, whatever it takes, wherever we go. We pray this in your name. Amen. So would you ask someone, everybody have someone who is assisting them? Yes. Yeah, okay.